today as we come to the table.
The scene changes to where they're being chased by some people coming up to get after them from Iconium. But here's the bottom line. Somehow they calmed it down and ended up getting the scene to go the right direction. But again, look at these good soldiers. They're not only having to deal with the hardship of the mission field, but learning to adapt and follow the Spirit of God to deal with very sticky situations when you're out in the mission field. And again, when you're walking by the power of the Spirit and you go out in the name of the Lord, God will give you supernatural wisdom. I want you to know that. As you step out, God's going to give you the weapons that you need. God's going to give you the strength that you need. God will give you the direction to go. And if something weird happens, God will give you wisdom.
God is for you. Who could stand against you? When you commit your life to service for God and spreading the good news of salvation, you have nothing to fear. Whatever obstacle comes your way, you can get through it because God will make a way. You just have to trust that He will when the time comes. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark is going to encourage you today to face your obstacles and hardships with confidence. When God's on your side, He'll provide everything you need to go where He's called you. Even if you have nothing to offer, God can still use you right where you're at. And He'll take care of the details. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 14, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Sometimes God heals, sometimes He doesn't. For example, I can give you one. Paul himself cried out to the Lord multiple times, God, heal me. And Paul had a gift of healing, right? He operated in that gift, and the Lord didn't heal him. And the Lord said, you know what, Paul? Not only am I not going to heal you, I gave you that. I gave you that thorn in the flesh. And the reason I gave you that thorn in the flesh, the scripture tells us, is to keep him humble. As we're going to see later, when Paul is apparently dead or else leaves his body or whatever the case is, he goes to where God is. He sees the third heaven. We'll get to that more in just a moment. And God wanted to keep Paul humble. Can you imagine seeing heaven? Can you suddenly imagine just being there and seeing the glory of God? It would be very easy to be a little bit puffed up. You would have information that nobody else has, and it would be quite the experience. And so again, we'll get to that later, but God actually did that to Paul, and God ordained that Paul not be healed while here on earth. Now let that sink in. That was God ordained and designed by God. We also see that even Jesus didn't heal everybody. Now, He healed everybody that He touched. He healed everybody that He tried, that He wanted to heal. But He didn't heal everybody He came in contact with or passed by. They had to cry out to Him. I'll give you one example. Remember the man that was laid there at the Gate Beautiful for 38 years. And Peter and John came walking by up there that morning to go to the morning prayer. And they saw him and they said, you know, silver and gold we don't have, but in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And God gave a healing for that man. The Bible tells us that man had been placed there for 38 years or however long. Certainly wasn't there as a baby, right? But however long he'd been placed there when he got old enough to be placed there. And was begging for money, if you will. That means the Lord walked by him for 3.5 years every time he went in the temple, and the Lord didn't heal him. So Jesus didn't heal everybody, and everybody on earth wasn't healed while Jesus was here. But when Jesus did speak the word, they were healed because he walked in that kingdom of power. Now, I'm not trying to discourage you that the Lord's not going to heal you. He may. And our job is simply to ask. Anybody that asks for prayer or wants, we're going to pray for God to heal you, and we believe in God's power to heal you. But it's in God's hand, it's what He does. Paul wasn't presumptuous, you know, to take this upon himself. He said, stand up and walk because he realized, you know what? God has shown me that you are able to be healed. God has shown me through a word of knowledge, I believe, and other ways that God is going to work in your life and heal you. So God touched him and God healed him. But his faith was ready to be acted on, and indeed it was acted on. But there's something else I want you to grab here before we move on, what a miracle this was. Because when you read these miracles of these cripples walking, you thought, well, yeah, God just touched their muscles and their ligaments and they got up and walked. Guys, there's so much more involved in walking. How did you guys learn how to walk? You kind of wobbled, you know, fell into things or whatever the case might be. It's a learned skill. It's like riding a bicycle. You don't just stand up and walk if you've never walked. He would have had to go through physical therapy. He would have had to learn how to walk. Number two, his muscles would have atrophied. The ligaments, everything would have been too weak to walk. It wasn't just that God said, stand up and heal him. God had to rebuild those muscles, rebuild the ligaments. God had to teach him how to walk. There was an instantaneous rebuilding and miracle that took place. And so this guy begins to jump and leap and praise the Lord, which again, I'm sure we would all do if we had not been able to walk. And suddenly somebody said, stand up and walk, and we were able to. And look at verse 11. It says, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Laconian language, the gods have come down in the likeness of men. And remember, they worshiped all these false gods and all the Greek pantheon and all that went with that. And so they believed that these are gods. And notice this, Barnabas they called Zeus. He was the chief god of all of them. I don't know why they picked him. Maybe because Paul was talking the most, because Hermes was the talker. And Paul, Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. So again, they try to figure out which ones they are, and they're giving them this glory. Now, again, I can understand them responding to these guys this way because of their pagan beliefs, but you have to realize in this region, there would have been an extra sensitivity to any miracle that had been done by someone to believe that it was the gods coming among them. And why is that? Because according to the Laconian traditions, they believed that there was an ancient visit by Zeus and Hermes to their region, and everybody in the region rejected them. They wouldn't take them into their home. There was only one elderly couple called Bacchus and Philemon, according to their tradition, who graciously received them into their home. And because nobody else would receive them into their home, they destroyed the entire region either by flood or earthquake. And so that was their tradition. So imagine when they hear this, they see this person rise up and walk, they're thinking, we're not going to blow it this time. You know, our ancestors were wiped out by these gods, which is not true, but was their tradition. So they're just looking at them like, you are the gods. You are Zeus and you are Hermes, and we're going to worship you now. So this sets up a very bad situation to the point, notice this, then the priests of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice to the multitudes. Now they're going to come and offer a sacrifice for Paul and Barnabas. Now I would say if you go to a town and you share the gospel and they bring out a sacrifice to you, something's going wrong. But again, remember, not that they'd done anything wrong. The point was, is that because of their tradition and because of their pagan beliefs, they were taking this wrong. They didn't see that it was the power of the God of Israel that they were presenting Jesus. They believed it was something else. So they're in full panic mode here. No, you can't be worshiping us. It's only God that's to be worshiped. That's why we've come all this long way, is to get you away from this stuff. Notice verse 14. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out. Again, tearing your clothes, you remember, is a sign of great just tragedy. It's like, what are you doing? You know, and they're ripping their clothes. So they would have gotten the message. And they said, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things, that is these false mythological gods, to the living God. Look, these are statues. You've got them up in front of your temples. Our God is alive. You're doing the wrong thing. Our God made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations, allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. So God allowed that for a while, for you guys to have these pagan beliefs, in other words. Nevertheless, even though you were worshiping falsely, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good. He gives us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. With these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. Why? They believe that's what their gods gave them. The fruitful seasons, the rain. They had gods for everything. So what he's saying is, hey, God has given you all these things because he's good. What they're hearing is the gods have given us all these things because they're good, and we are two of those gods. So this is not going very good at this moment. Now, something happens between verse 18 and 19 where they were able to settle the issue. Yes, when we jump into verse 19, we're going to see that the scene changes to where they're being chased by some people coming up to get after them from Iconium. But here's the bottom line. Somehow they calmed it down and ended up getting this thing to go the right direction. But again, look at these good soldiers. They're not only having to deal with the hardship of the mission field, but learning to adapt and follow the Spirit of God to deal with very sticky situations when you're out in the mission field. And again, when you're walking by the power of the Spirit and you go out in the name of the Lord, God will give you supernatural wisdom. I want you to know that. As you step out, God's going to give you the weapons that you need. God's going to give you the strength that you need. God will give you the direction to go. And if something weird happens, God will give you wisdom. I can't tell you how many times going out, whether it be on a mission trip or whether it doing whatever, all of a sudden things do not go the way you planned. And it's like God just gives supernatural wisdom. You know how to handle it. And so God gives them here supernatural wisdom, and somehow it doesn't give the details of how they sorted this whole thing out, but obviously they did. And then look here at verse 19. It says, then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there. Now, guys, for just a moment, remember how far that was. Probably about 90 to 100 miles. Look, when you're doing the work of the Lord, there are those that are going to be so opposed to it, they won't stop until they stop you. These guys were literally traveling all that distance to come and chase them down from the ministry they were doing after they had left to try to attack them. And so don't be surprised, as a soldier and a minister unto the Lord, that people are going to come after you from time to time. And sometimes they'll come after you pretty hard. It might be through the internet. It might be through going to a boss. It might be through whatever the case, but don't be shocked by that. That's part of being a soldier for the Lord. It's a part of the spiritual battle. And I think, man, you know, somebody hates me enough to chase me on foot 80 miles or, you know, 90 miles, 100 miles, and they hit me pretty good. Typically it's just a few blocks with the lights flashing, but this is like a long way of those that are really mad at you. But notice this, and that's never happened to me, but anyway, I'm sure you have all had that experience. I haven't. Again, and it's usually my fault. And anyway, they came from Antioch. They came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. They hated him so much, and they hated the message of the gospel so much, they poisoned everyone's minds to the point where they were ready to kill them. Now, again, here's a warning as a soldier of the Lord. There are going to be people that hate you for no reason. Truly, look, as I said jokingly, tongue in cheek, I've had people yell at me, and I deserved to be yelled at. But I've had situations that I knew were spiritual, where people that I don't even know, and nothing happened to them with a car or traffic or anything else, and they just yelled at me for no reason, didn't even know them. And I recognized, this is really weird. No, it wasn't just weird. It was demonic. And so the enemy can stir the people around you and move them in the way he wants to move them, and we need to be prepared for that and realize, hey, this is a spiritual battle. Why do we need to recognize it? Well, not just so we can dodge, you know, but we can pray. God, rebuke the enemy here. This is demonic. As you begin to pray and stand against it, then the battle takes place behind the scenes. This is simply demonic. As they're chasing them down, they literally drag them, stone them to death and drag them out of the city. Now, typically, here's how stoning to death took place. They would take you to a high place, throw you off so that you would be injured and couldn't run away. Then they would gather around you and throw stones at you until you died. Not a pleasant way to die. Now, it doesn't tell us if they threw Paul off of a high place or not. It doesn't tell us, you know, what the situation was, but they believed he was dead. And, you know, he was either totally unconscious in a deep state or he was dead, because they drug him out of the city and they still believed he was dead. You know, again, so they drag him out of the city, they leave him there for dead. And so, again, they realize, again, this is where, again, that whole situation in the Bible where we hear what Paul says, look, I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body, but I saw heaven. And this is where that episode happened. I want to read it to you. This is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 and 4. And Paul writes this about this. Now, it's now 14 years after this event that we're reading. But notice what Paul says. He's talking in third person about himself. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in body, I do not know, or whether out of body, I do not know, God knows. So he didn't even know whether he was dead or alive himself. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And again, if you're like me, I know I've said it many times before. Don't you wish he'd have still written them down? You know, what were the things you heard, Paul? Paul said, when I got there, it was so amazing. It was so otherworldly. It was so supernatural and wonderful. I can't even express it. There's no way to tell you what that was like. You're going to have to wait and see it for yourself. Again, that was Paul. Again, that's the vision God gave Paul. And that's why I believe God gave Paul the thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. Because can you imagine? Look, some of us handle importance more than others. And if thinking we're important gets in the way and pride comes in and suddenly we're unusable, then God can't use us. And God had big plans for Paul. He had to do something in his life. By the way, there may be some of you that are suffering with some ailment that God just won't heal, and it's never gone away. And the reason God's doing that is because he wants to use you. And God knows that if he healed that, he couldn't use you to the extent that he wants to and is going to, because again, it may be something that goes to your head. God knows us. He knows his kids. Look, parents, you know what your kids are like. You know what your kids can handle, what they can do. You know everything about them. God knows everything about us. And so God only allows what he allows to protect us. And we have to trust him in that. And so God said, Paul, all right, I'm going to kind of limit you in this. I mean, I'm going to limit your healing here so that I can use you in the way that I want to use you. And boy, did God use it. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Now, it's interesting here. Before we move on, I want to point out here. Notice he went to the third heaven. This came up a couple of weeks ago, a week or two ago. Somebody said, how many heavens are there, right? We hear about some false teaching of seven heavens and all these different things, whatever the case might be. The Bible teaches three heavens. That's all the Bible teaches. The first heaven is where the birds fly. It's called the heavens. It's the expanse above us, okay? The heavens just simply above us, the expanse. The second heaven is from the atmosphere where it ends and all of the universe out there in outer space. That's the second heaven. So mankind has been to the second heaven. But the third heaven, that's where God lives. That's God's abode. And so God is in the third heaven. That's when we get raptured. We will go to the third heaven. We will be with the Lord there having the wedding supper of the Lamb. Then we come back. Again, we talked about that before. I look forward to that journey back through the universe. Coming back down, I think it's going to be awesome. Seeing the universe from the back and working our way back to the earth and all this. But either way, we're going to come back to the earth and we'll have, again, 1,000 years. He'll rule and reign here on the earth. As we come with the Lord, 10,000s of his saints, if you will. This is the moment that took place when they killed Paul, if you will. However, notice this. When the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And there's two things that are amazing. They gathered around him. Were they praying? They probably were. Either way, God resurrects Paul and he gets up. I know that if I got up after being, you know, put to death by the people in the city, I don't know that I'd be ready to run right back in. But a good soldier realizes that they've got to complete their duty. And that means, you know what? If they're going to take me out again, they take me out again. But we're not done here. I've got to go back. I've got to let all the believers know that God was faithful. They've got to see that God spared me. They've got to be encouraged and not be afraid. And there's probably numbers of reasons that Paul went back in. But can you imagine how encouraging it would have been to see Paul come back in there, again, probably looking like he just finished a prize fight, and saying, guys, it's going to be okay. You know, if somebody that's living a really cushy life, if they tell you that's going to be okay, that's not real encouraging, is it? If their life is just wonderful, all their bills are paid, you know, beautiful home, beautiful car, beautiful family, everything's going great, and they say, hang in there, brother, it's going to be okay, you know, whatever the case might be. I mean, that's appreciated, but it doesn't hold any real power, does it? But when somebody comes in looking like a Mike Tyson fight just finished, and they were fighting Mike back when he was good, right, and they say, you know what, and they can barely talk, and there's, you know, bruises everywhere, God is good, and it's going to be okay. That's encouraging. And some of you feel like you've been at the wrong end of a prize fight and you were the prize that got beaten up, but God has done something in your life that is precious and priceless. And you alone can minister to certain people that nobody else is going to listen to. Look, you can minister to anybody and whatever they've been. Don't get me wrong. Any background, you can minister to people. But when you've been through it and you can say, you know what, God was faithful, that has power because it gives them hope. Hey, if you made it, I can make it. So Paul goes back in and goes, guys, you can do this. You can do this. And notice the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So they take out the next day. And notice verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Now, several things I want to note are, number one, they made many disciples. They didn't just go and preach the gospel. They led people to the Lord. They discipled them. And I want to say this. If you've not been discipled, that's why we have a discipleship ministry here. We have three levels of discipleship. And I want to encourage you, especially if you say, you know what, I feel like I'm in that desert. I've never gone through a proper biblical boot camp or whatever. I want to go and take the land, but I don't feel that I'm equipped. Get into discipleship. Go through discipleship. Let God pour into you. Let him grow you. Let him disciple you so you're ready for the battle. Well, Paul had this heart. He wanted them to be discipled. So he made these disciples. And they returned again. I love this because look at this. They could have just made a beeline back to Antioch. It would have been a lot quicker. But they went back to Lystra, Iconium, Antioch. And we're going to see these other places they stopped. Hundreds of miles. These guys are traveling to go back and minister to the saints. That shows you their heart and their commitment to be a soldier for Christ. It's like, we're going to do this for the Lord. And notice they were strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now, that would have been an exhortation that would have had power. You know, Paul, we think maybe he died. We're not sure. They did this. They kicked us out. He was stoned to death or whatever. This guy. And Paul's just saying, guys, you can do this. Come on, you can do it. If I did it, you can do it. That's encouraging. So they're being strengthened because of the trials that Paul went through, even as we can strengthen others because of the trials that we've been through. And so he says, continue in the faith, saying this, and this would have had weight as well. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. In other words, the Christian walk's not going to be easy, because life is hard. Has anybody noticed that? And the Christian life sometimes can be harder because you're taking arrows from the enemy. The world's not getting attacked by the enemy. He's already got them. There's no battle he needs to get them. They're just living in this crazy hard world because it's fallen. We have the crazy hard world that's fallen and the one that's attacking us. And so this is something that as believers, you have to realize through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. If we understand that mentally, it makes it easier when the battle takes place. God never said it would be easy down here. He said he would give us the strength to do it and the power to be overcomers. And then God would give us victory and eventually the kingdom with reward. And so Paul says, guys, hang in there. You're going to make it. God's going to be faithful. We have to go through many tribulations before we enter the kingdom of God. And when they appointed elders in every city and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there, they sailed to Antioch, now finally going back home, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work in which they had completed. So this year-long mission trip or whatever has now been completed. They go back. No doubt everyone there is very excited to hear what God did. They've been gone for a year. What did God do? And notice this, and when they had come, gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Again, this continued work among the Gentiles, Paul's main call, if you will. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Guys, I want to encourage you, be a good soldier for Christ. If you just sit there, you're going to get shot at anyway. You might as well put on the armor. Get up every morning. Get in the word. Get in prayer. You say, well, I didn't have time this morning. Look, we all have weird things that happen. But when you don't have time on those mornings, let me ask you a question. Is the enemy still going to be shooting at you? I'm sorry. That's the reality. It's like, come on. It's like, can I get a break? I mean, we fought all night, you know, in the jungles of whatever. Take it to a real battle. You know, the soldiers need some sleep. Can all you guys out there just give us a good night's sleep? Don't come in right now. It's raining. We're wet. We're exhausted. We fought all night. Hadn't even eaten yet. Give us a break, okay? We need whatever. No, they're coming in. And they're going, good, I'm glad you're weaker. I can take you out even all the more. Listen, when you get away from the word of God in prayer, that's when the enemy's going to come in and attack because you're now weaker and he can take you all the more. Not legalism, not works. You don't have to do it to please God. The blood has pleased God. He's pleased by the blood. You're in heaven. You're accepted. You're the beloved. This has nothing to do with that. This is the battle's coming to you. Are you ready? So you need to put on the armor every day. You need to be in the word. You need to be in prayer. You need to be seeking God and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I'm going to get shot at anyway. I might as well get shot moving forward than just get shot sitting here. Let's go. And then let God lead you in where he's going to lead you. For some of you, maybe you realize, you know what? Maybe I've been in a wilderness all these years. I don't see any real fruit in my life. Maybe God is saying, you know what? It's time to believe my word and get up and go into the promised land. Enter the battle. Trust that I'm going to give you victory in all these areas. Wherever you are, we've covered all those today. Ask God to do that. He's here empowered to do it right now. Open your heart and allow him to do it. Amen.
You've been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark has been teaching through the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells the incredible story of how the early church was empowered by the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel throughout the world. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries in history, was transformed by God's grace and used mightily to preach the gospel. Yet, Paul constantly reminded believers that everything was done by God's power, not his own. He didn't rely on persuasive words or human wisdom. He simply proclaimed the truth, and the Holy Spirit opened hearts and changed lives. Where do you need the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life today? We'd be happy to speak with you or connect with you through our website. You can call us at 865-609-1385. Again, that phone number is 865-609-1385. You can also visit our website, thewaymedia.net, and use our questions and comments link to reach out. Want to hear this message again? You can easily download the Way Media app. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville, And we hope you've been encouraged by this time in the book of Acts. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to have you join us on a Sunday morning. TheWayMedia.net has all the information you need about service times and location. We look forward to meeting you. Please join us again next time as Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Acts here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.